Welcome back to another edition of City View with Mayor Tom Koch. I'm Mark Carius, Media Director. And Mayor, it's been a month, at least, I think, since we've done the podcast.
Seems like it's been 3 years, Mark. See? This whole thing seems like it's been going on for a long, long time.
I know.
Good to be back, though. Good
and the reason back. Why we haven't is because you've been doing daily videos. We've done almost, I think 50. Well, today will be 50 videos. Oh. 50 days of videos every day. Putting it out there on social media, you're getting a few thousand views between Facebook and YouTube every...
Just trying to share the information, what's going on
as
COVID-19 relates to Quincy and the stats and the numbers and what we're doing here. So,
and the feedback has been good because it's been important for you as the leader of this city to communicate to the constituents. You know, we're getting positive feedback, which is great. This is a great city, and obviously the state of Massachusetts has been great, too, in really coming together and doing what needs to be done for this throughout this whole COVID-19 crisis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's been a learning experience for everybody because there was no playbook for this, and it was like, you know, one day at a time. It was like 1 hour at a time, the way things were happening, and an awful lot of phone calls and Zoom calls and all that stuff with colleagues, mayors, governor, lieutenant governor, Senate president. I'll be on the call tonight with the Speaker of the House, DeLeo, with a number of mayors. There's just so many moving parts to this. Of course, the health and safety of the public is first and foremost. And Ruth Jones from our Department of Health Commission has done a remarkable job with a lot of help. Cynthia Sierra from Man of Health has been incredible down there. Our friends at Brewster, our police, our fire guys. My hat's off to the medical community in general. From the doctors, nurses, down to the techs, to the custodians, to aides. I mean, they're all in there on the front lines. It's pretty amazing, you know. But then there's the other side of it. There's the economic impact. There's all the services that we have to adjust with city. For example, the library being closed, but they're doing things online. It just, I think everybody has learned a course in technology that they might never have dealt with, but they had to. And people are working from home to do things, for example. It's been an interesting time. I'm a people person, so I hate it. You know me, Mark. I mean, I don't like to even do things by email. I like to either phone call or in person.
Yeah,
I like to talk to people. And I usually have a lot of meetings in this office, and that's been very limited. And understandably so, to keep everybody safe. But boy, oh boy, I think we're all ready.
Yeah, I think we are already. I think talk a little bit about this economic impact, especially when it comes to the you know, it's the restaurant, the small mom and pop shops, and some of them just aren't going to be opening again, unfortunately.
Yeah, I read a stat somewhere that, and I'm sure if it's wrong, somebody will call and point it out, but the 25% of restaurants across the country won't reopen after this. And that's heartbreaking, you know, when you hear about that. I heard another story yesterday about somebody that has a business in Quincy that it's in the food business, and they can't get their workers to come back because they're doing well in unemployment. I mean, it's I understand the intent of all of that, but it has some unintended consequences. So, you know, it's funny. I think I might have talked about it before. I don't know. But one of the books I recently read, Jim Timmons gave me, was on Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. And boy, oh boy, I wish everybody in D.C. that's in government today read that book, because we'd all learn an awful lot. They both were great leaders, very different ideologies, but had a great respect for the institutions, had a respect for each other, and got stuff done. You know, this name-calling back and forth, and I don't know, it's just despicable. And they were forced to do the first package, the bills, because it was the right thing to do overall, but now we're seeing the bickering happening again.
Yeah, and that's, you know, this should never have been political, especially when it comes to, you know, some people, if you wear a mask, you're on the left. If you don't wear one, you're all the way on the right. Yeah, it's just not the way it is.
Everything's broken down that way, it seems, you know.
It's too bad.
It is too bad. It's funny, I'm driving home last night, and I passed more than one person driving other cars. They're by themselves in their car, and they have a mask on. I'm saying, what is going on there? Yeah. Am I missing something? Somebody down below the seat there? I mean, what would you have a mask on by yourself in the car for? That's what I mean. The pendulum goes so far, you know, in the other direction.
Yeah, it does. It's crazy when some people are calling, you know, saying that this person wasn't wearing a mask outside.
Just people are ratting out
these
neighbors.
Are crazy times. I'm sure people
didn't get
stressed out.
I didn't get 10 feet out of Old Town Hall the other day. I just went out for a walk. And I was going for a walk. I wasn't going into a store. I wasn't going into an establishment. So I did not have a mask on, physically on. And a woman about 30 feet away yells at me, "Hey, man, I get an extra mask. You need a mask?" I says, "No, I'm all set. Thank you. I don't intend on talking to anybody. I'm trying to get a little exercise and clear the head, you know." But So we've gone from one extreme to the other. When before it was, I'm not wearing a mask. No, everyone's wearing a mask, you know.
Well, I know when you and your department heads have all put these policies and procedures that are in place. I mean, we're sitting 6 feet apart from each other right now. And that's the way it is with everything in throughout the city. We're just, it's going to be a new norm for a while, at least for this year. How far do you see this going?
You know, that's a good question. The new norm is what people are referring to. What's next? And people are saying until we find the vaccine, you know, I don't know. It's a good question. You know, we're making adjustments as we can. For example, while City Hall's closed, we've had the carpenters in. We're doing all kinds of new glass at the counters, separating between customers, separating between the offices. I mean, we're doing all the things we need to do to be prepared because we don't know. Even if things go well and we're back at it, who knows? 6 months, a year from now, just this or something else pops. So some of these habits are probably going to be some good habits going forward, whether it's the flu season. You think about that. I mean, and hundreds of thousands get the flu every year and tens of thousands die from it. So these are probably good habits we're going to get into just on the flu issue, never mind, you know, such a virus that we're dealing with. So,
And none of us really know what's going to be happening. And we have that four-phase plan that the governor's just basically put out, which is very vague at this point. We're all waiting until Monday till we find out what's happening, right?
That's correct. I mean, I've seen a lot of jokes about that going across the internet about the plans for the phases and the phase and the plans and planning the phase. We're expecting him to get in a lot more specific on Monday. And, you know, we'll see from there. And then we're going to meet as a team, the city, my department heads, and to figure out, okay, the gradual reamping up of everything. I mean, obviously police, fire is still at it. All our laborers are out there, parks, they're cutting the grass, they're planting the flowers, DPW's doing their thing on the roads and water and sewer and all that sort of thing. But, you know, the library, you can't open the library yet. I mean, that's just asking for a problem. Doing stuff online.
But we can, and some of the things we'll be repeating that we talked about in the videos, but we do these videos every single day. They're 4 or 5 minute videos. At least we have a little bit of time to talk about a few of these things today. So immediately, and I know that this was near and dear to your heart, Flag Day was the biggest, but we had to cancel pretty much every single outdoor or big event that we've had all summer long.
Yeah,
right?
Memorial Day has gone. We're going to do a observance there with just a couple of people. We shouldn't let it go by without reading the names and acknowledging their sacrifice. And yeah, Flag Day was a killer. I mean, I've been in that since.
Let's remind people of why. So, why? Let's talk about the origins of Flag Day. Now's the time to do it.
Well, you know, Flag Day is, I got a picture over there on my roll top desk. I'm 4 or 5 years old, dressed up in a very patriotic outfit my mother made for me, standing with my sister with a wagon in the old Flag Day parade. I've been in every parade since I could walk, probably, you know, and of course started by my dad, great family connection. But it's also, it's become such a Americana tradition here in Quincy. It's like the official start of summer, if you will. You know, and Christmas parade's wonderful, but half the time you're frozen. You know, you get your scarf around you, but Flag Day, short sleeve, it's a beautiful day and night. People can relax and enjoy it. So
fireworks.
That was a tough call.
Yeah.
That was a tough call.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm sure it was. Beyond that, I want to talk more importantly. I know we've got a lot of response when you were talking on the videos about high school graduations, both Quincy and North Quincy High School. So we couldn't have the graduation in June, but talk about what you've been talking
about.
Well,
we certainly can't have it the June dates that they've been talked about, which is usually the first week of June. It's usually Monday and Tuesday night. They alternate the high schools. And, you know, the superintendent came forward with a plan not to replace. You know, I think it got a little bit, communication wasn't quite there on how it was articulated. I think people automatically thought there was going to be no graduation at all. And none of us had really made that decision. We knew we couldn't have it that first week of June. As you know, you're involved with the superintendent and putting together I don't know what you call it, a video.
Due to the devastating fact that families can't experience this, you've charged me to go talk to them and put together a couple of videos that'll be 30-minute, 40-minute videos.
Which will include every kid.
Will include class. Every single kid. There'll be a slideshow of it with music and speeches and everything else. It's sort of a video version of a shorter version of the graduation.
Right, which we're going to do anyway, but we have not decided not to have a formal graduation ceremony outdoors. So we're working now and working on the logistics. And, you know, we have an incredible venue at the Veterans Memorial Stadium. And that's been tradition where the graduations have been held. You know, it's a large venue, so the field can handle the kids with social distancing, not a problem. And the stands, you know, can hold, you know, it's somewhere between 3,500 seats. The Cannons, obviously, when they came to Quincy, made all kinds of changes to the stands. So now every seat is identified and numbered.
Yeah.
So, for example, we've talked about publicly is what we're looking at logistically now is the team is, okay, if every high school senior got two tickets for two family members, we can line them up specifically where they have to sit, and then we can keep seats between the groups, empty the seats behind them, empty. We can spread it out and stagger them such a way that I think it would be a safe night. So we're looking at that, but that wouldn't be till probably till the end of June, if then.
Right.
The goal is to have it at some point when the guidelines loosen up a little bit.
And the initial response from that has been very positive. I think so.
Very, yeah, I think people thankful. Had written off that we're going to have anything. So to even talk about a live graduation has been well received for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
But we're going to have to be firm. I mean, it's the old game of, oh, my uncle and my aunt, they got to be here, all that. You know, when we do this, we're going to have to stand by the rule that it's two tickets. If you don't come to the gate with your ticket, sorry. You know,
yeah.
What was that? The old Frosty the Snowman, no money, no ticket, no ticket, no entrance.
Frosty the Snowman, by the way, the magician was from Quincy, Billy DeWolf. Just point of fact
busy,
out there, friends.
Busy.
He's from Quincy, Billy DeWolf. So watch for, and the videos will be out June 10th, I believe, is going to be the deadline that we chose now. And it's really going to be something for the family. So beyond that, Mayor, we have talked a little bit about the financial impact, especially on the small businesses a little bit. And we're still not sure what that's going to be. I'm sure they don't know what it's going to be. But let's talk about the finances of the city a little bit. I know we are in the midst of budget season right now. And you're going before the city council, and talk a little bit about that this year.
Which is also weird. So I'm going to go before the council by Zoom on Monday night, Hollywood Squares. It's just going to be strange and weird, the dynamics there. But, you know, this has been kind of a moving target for the last several weeks because, you know, every day new information comes out. Okay, how bad is the loss of revenue? Meals tax, hotels tax, excise tax, you know, people aren't pulling building permits as much or as robust. How many marriage certificates were taken? All those things mean dollars into the coffers. So the real estate taxes we collect. I mean, they collect. If you don't collect them now, you're going to collect them in their ears with interest. So that's not so much the interest. Then, of course, we have what's called local aid, which is money the state provides every city and town a portion every year of our budget. And that was looking great with new Chapter 70 money for new programs, et cetera, et cetera. But all of a sudden, this happened. So the state's revenues are now off. Like in April, their receipts were down $1.9 billion just in 1 month. So and then you get the federal stuff coming in. Okay, the federal is talking about, you know, stimulus packages and, you know, help the economy, to help cities and towns, to help the states. But that really hasn't been, intentions have been good, but it hasn't been well articulated yet. We're still trying to figure out how we're supposed to get our funding from that. State just gave us some guidance. Now all of a sudden we have to apply for it, which I'm not happy to hear about. You know, when the congressman told me about this, Congressman Lynch, he said this is a formula. Every city and town will get X amount based on the formula, population, so you can deal with the COVID, you deal with the issues you need. And I know we're going to the numbers today, but now we're told by the state that number that we had is less than half, and we have to apply for this and go through this process. So I'm not happy right now about it, and I probably shouldn't even talk about it right now because I'll be airing my concerns a little bit later on the phone calls. But anyway, my point is there's a lot of moving parts. There's really nothing nailed down. So to put a budget together with all these things up in the air was a little bit challenging. But the goal is a lean budget, a minimum increase, no tax increase in the fall, no upgrades, no raises, as I say, very lean to just get through this. And if there's a time we should not have a tax increase, and by the way, people, you know, express their concerns about the tax increases when they see me over the last 13 years. In fact, when I worked for Jim Sheets, and when I was chief of staff, it was the same issue then. But the way government works at the local level, every city and town goes up every year on the property tax. That's the way we fund government. For example, this year, you know, health insurance goes up, rubbish collection cost goes up. There's automatic things that go up every year that, you know, we don't necessarily control. So that's the biggest driver of our budget is the property tax revenue from that. But recognizing what this economy is doing to people, we are trying to be as lean as we can so that in the fall we don't have an increase at all. And we're looking at trying to reduce the water rate number. The sewer is a little harder to tackle, but so we're cognizant of the challenges people are dealing with right now in their own lives. And because we're aware of it, you know, the small businesses are taking a beating right now, and we hear from them, we talk to them. I have another call set up on Tuesday, a roundtable with a number of with Tim Cahill in the chamber and a number of businesses, and we talk some of these things through. You know, hopefully with a little bit more information from the governor on Monday, then how we can plan more formally about reamping up, reopening, reopening, whatever the case may be. We'll work through all those things, and hopefully we'll, you know, be in a better place in the middle of next week. Now, obviously, the federal government's done some stuff for businesses, small business administration loans. But, you know, there's a lot of smaller businesses that fell in the cracks that we put together a program for with our community development block grant money. And I thank, again, Congressman Lynch for his help on making the adjustments on the caps and stuff in that program. I mean, it's an existing program, so it was easy for them to put some money into and lift some caps to allow us to help. For example, the small businesses were going to be, you know, we put up $1 million of CDBG. We're hoping to put some of the other stimulus money. I think that program could be $3 or $4 million because of the amount of requests we've gotten from applications for assistance. And it's a grant up to $10,000 per business to help them with their costs at the time. They're still paying rent. They're still paying insurances. But they have no revenue coming in. So, you know, trying to do the best we can with what we're working with.
I think that this city's done a great job, right, in taking care of our own when we can. Because, I mean, there are those state and federal programs, but I think that this city has really stepped up to take care of its own in different ways when it comes to the Quincy Relief Fund, quincyrelieffund.com, or what you've said with the CDBG money. But that's great. No new taxes this year. I mean, I don't want to say that out loud because we know what that means when you say, no new taxes. Read my lips. But I think that's important to people. But I also think that we had a conversation about this. We were in good shape in Quincy, as opposed to, I know a lot of other communities will be struggling and figuring out how to do this.
Yeah, we're financially sound and strong. We've done, over the last 10 years, we've made a lot of changes and adjustments, instituted a lot of new financial policies through the cooperation of the city council, putting money every year away in reserve and OPEB and these what would be considered, liabilities. We're dealing with them. And, the bond rating agencies have responded. We have the second highest rating you could have. So I'm proud of that. It doesn't mean much to the average person, but it matters when you're borrowing money because we can borrow money at a lower rate. And because of our strong performance in every category, you know, we're not a risk for these companies to bid on our debt. So that stuff's very, very important. And we deal with that stuff on a regular basis. So the other thing I know we didn't mention, I know we talked about the small businesses, Mark, but, you know, you said about being ready. We were ready not only in a sound financial position, but we moved immediately. City Council approved transfer $500,000 from the snow and ice so we could get money right out in the street to the food pantries. And
oh, yeah.
Folks are dealing with people right away because we've seen a big uptick in people in need. We did the rental assistance program, which was $1 million right out of the Affordable Housing Trust, paid for by developers, that we put on the street. Timmy Cahill in the chamber was helpful, as well as QCAP. Those people that fell in that hospitality category, waitresses and dishwashers, and, you know, they live paycheck to paycheck. They needed some help. So we're doing a rental assistance program, which gets paid directly to their landlord. There's no, you know, they're not going to go out and buy cigarettes with it because we set the system up this way. So, you know, I could go on and on about so many different programs. Father Bill's, the sheltering issue. We dealt with that early on before it became a catastrophe like happened in some other communities. So we've been ahead of things. And I say we because there's been so many folks at the table working this. You know, Paul Gorman at the YMCA, when I called him about using the Y, whatever you need, you know.
Yeah.
And that's been the case. Cynthia Sierra, whatever we need to do, whatever it has to be. You know, it's just, there's been no egos and no hidden agendas. It's just been, you know, all hands on deck, just pulling it together.
Everyone coming together. And, you know, folks, if you want to find out about some of the things the mayor has just mentioned, please visit quincyma.gov. Initially, on that Quincy Small Business Grant Program, you can reach out to the Operations Supervisor in Economic Development, James Scribby. James Scribby, that's JamesScribby at quincyma.gov or call 617-376-1378.
Blah, 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 blah. That's all, folks. That's trouble with that one. You're reading it.
There really are a lot of things. And that's why, you know, there's been a skeleton crew here at City Hall. And there has been a lot happening with the short crew that we do have here. Business is still running in City Hall, basically, but just not to the public, obviously.
Oh, it has to. Right. Absolutely. You know, for example, somebody that is looking to get married, they can reach out to the city clerk and make arrangements to have an appointment, and they're dealt with for their paperwork needs and all. So we are still operating, but under the guidelines set by the governor, we can't be open to the general public every day. That's going to change in the coming weeks And we're going to be ready for that with the changes we made physically in the building.
And for small business, this is a small business resource guide, by the way, folks. If you do have a small business or you know someone that does have one, please visit quincyma.gov and go to the planning department. Also, for small business questions, please contact the city's planning department at 617-376-1266. And of course, if you do have any issues when it comes to the COVID thing or COVID-19, then call Ruth Jones.
Quincy Health Department, 617-376-1288, I believe, is the hotline.
Yep.
1272 is if you have any questions and may not be dealt with on the hotline.
And you didn't even have to look at anything. These numbers are at the top of your head because you've been saying it every single day, all the time.
Ad nauseam.
There are great programs at the Thomas Crane Public Library, by the way.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of things, through the internet. There's some good people over there. Megan Allen, the director there, and their crew, they're excellent, and they're very savvy on the technology side. So this is an easy one for them, in a sense, to get some stuff out there. And they've been doing well, and I believe it's well-received.
And that's thomascranelibrary.org. And let's just move right on because a lot to talk about. So, Mayor, also the Quincy College Voucher Program. That's another one that's sort of...
Yes, they're offering a $300 voucher for if you live in Quincy or Plymouth, which are the two places we physically have locations for summer courses. And if you're from one of the other communities, it's a $150 voucher. So if you're looking to take a course or two or you need a course or two to help get your credits up, reach out to Quincy College. Do we have a...
We do.
Quincy College,
we do have. That's quincycollege.edu. Quincycollege.edu. Visit that. You'll find out about the whole program. And, Mayor, before we finish on our final note, just talk a little bit about the Quincy Relief Fund. That people have really stepped up to help us out there.
Yeah, it's been amazing. We've heard from – we've gotten $10 checks. We've gotten $10,000 checks, $25,000 checks. I mean, it's been people that love the city, care about their neighbor, care about their friends, understand what's going on, and just stepping up once again. This is that type of community. They just step up. So we're in around the $200,000 mark on donations to date. And that's the Quincy Foundation, care of Colonial Federal Savings Bank. That's at 15 Beach Street in Wollaston, 02170. If you want to contribute, feel free to do so. That money is, there's no administrative cost here. All that money goes right out on the street. So you could also visit the website, QuincyReliefFund.com. Feel free to jump in. And if you've already given, if you're listening, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. This will go a long way in helping people on the street that need help with food and utilities and clothing.
And finally, Mayor, we always start the video off with these stats on what's happening in Quincy, but so far as of yesterday, because we get our numbers every single day, mm-hmm. just to talk a little bit about, or to talk to the families or the folks that we've lost, 98 people here in the city of Quincy due to COVID. Now, I mean, most of them, 98% of them, I believe, were senior citizens and a lot of the seniors.
Yeah, I think the average age has been 81, and a big portion of that has been people living in nursing homes. We've seen that across the country, that population has been just devastated because it's, they live in an environment that they're close together. They're not outside getting fresh air and sunlight, and they start with usually having some vulnerabilities anyway. That's why they're in the nursing home. So very sad. Certainly my sympathy goes out to all the families that have been affected by the COVID. If you lost loved ones, we certainly pray for your soul, their souls. And those people that are ill, we pray for hopefully their recovery. I did see on the news last night a veteran living in Squantum. It was Mr. McIntosh. They did a parade by his house, 101 years old, World War II vet. Beat it, He had it and he beat it.
Love those stories.
So it is awesome. Yeah, we're cognizant of these are more than just stats. There's a family and a face behind every one of these numbers and a story behind every one of those faces. And, it's sad. It very, very sad. We're over 1,000 confirmed cases in Quincy, but we've had more than 500 recovered. Not everybody that gets it is in the ICU. Some people get very sick from it. Some people don't even know they have it. They don't even have any symptoms, and they're carrying it. That's been the danger of this disease because you don't know how it's transmitted. If somebody's got the obviously, if they're sick with it, that you stay away from them and the whole bit. But if you're a carrier, you don't know it. You're meeting other people, and that was the whole idea of the self quarantine. That was the whole idea of staying home advisories and the masks and to keep it from spreading from one to another. So we are going in the other direction. The increase in cases is declining as far as the rate of increase goes. We haven't actually turned the corner completely, but we're going in the right direction, and that's terrific. And again, I want to thank Health Commissioner Ruth Jones and her team, the school nurses that have been going in and out of there, the detectives that have been working in and out of there doing the tracing, background stuff. so many people to thank. I could just spend a half an hour thanking people, Mark. It's a great city.
And you do every day on the video. So we do urge people to follow us on our social media platforms. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Please check out our YouTube page, and you'll see the mayor's daily briefings every single afternoon, Monday through Friday, and sometimes in the weekends, depending on what's happening. But we are turning the corner, so that's good news, Mayor. Thank you very much for another edition of City View.
Thank you, everybody. Stay safe out there.